Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
One of the issues with our team right now is mental toughness, discipline, and execution.
Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jason Staples. Got a big show here. Got a lot of intel from the last week or so with a ton to share. I'm going to be careful not to go too much at this point, but there's some things coming out of scrimmage, things coming out of team periods, and all sorts of stuff in terms of what I'm getting from in practice, those who've seen practices behind closed doors and getting some sense of what's going on from them a little bit better. So we'll go ahead and get right to it. Actually, before we get right to it, I want to thank my first sponsor, as always, Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. If you have any real estate need in the greater Jacksonville area, Lewis is your guy. Listen, you need to take a look online to see what he does as a photographer, videographer, and getting those listings out. There's nobody better in the business than Lewis. And if you need to find a place, nobody's going to outwork him. So let him know that you need that you have some real estate needs and that you found out about him from the Unconquered Podcast to help out a great deal. All right, let's go ahead and get to it. Now, first of all, a lot to report in terms of just where things are at this point in camp. And so I'm going to go through offense and defense a little bit, and I'm going to do a little bit more position-specific previews over the next few days. I'm going to be recording those, and also I'm going to do a couple season-as-a-whole previews here in the next few days as well. So it's going to be a busy week next week. I'll probably release 4 podcasts next week to prepare for the season, but this should get us into the weekend and prep us for the final and the news that'll come out of the final scrimmage of camp and all of that. But a few things. First, number one, it's pretty evident that for the most part, the team has, and again, this is a knock on wood thing at this point, but the team has bought in, and that in general, the culture is starting to get cleaned up. You're getting overall more effort and more confidence in what the staff is asking them to do. And that's starting to pay some dividends on the field. Now, I'll be honest. I will be very blunt about this. There are still 2 guys on this team that I know for a fact were called cancers by insiders a little over a year ago. So it's not like everybody who was a problem is gone. And that's, by the way, a word that these people were cautious about using. They don't just throw that word. I mean, we don't use this word very often, but these guys are cancers. Now, those 2 guys are still on the team, but I will say so far they've been behaving. And they're expected to be contributors this year. So, you know, sometimes just getting everything else around set up and changing the culture around is enough to really pull guys forward. And especially if you look at like the offensive line room and some of the stuff that we really didn't talk about on the podcast last year, but just in terms of how that offensive line room worked, I mean, that was a deeply divided offensive line room. I mean, you've got one current offensive lineman who was essentially mercilessly mocked by his teammates his first couple of years on campus by other offensive linemen. And it is insane. It is unthinkable how anybody in that offensive line room could actually think that they were in position to make fun of somebody else. I mean, really. And then you look at a guy like Landon Dickerson, who right now people at Alabama are saying he might be the best offensive lineman at Alabama, which puts the lie a little bit to the idea that Florida State's had no talent on the roster at the position or at offensive line in general. They've had some talent. Now, of course, Dickerson might be Alabama's best offensive lineman for the first week until he inevitably gets hurt. But again, this is a situation where if Dickerson were at Florida State, yes, he'd be their best offensive lineman until the seemingly inevitable injury. But Dickerson ultimately had to leave or felt like he had to leave in part because the relationship between him and other offensive linemen was so toxic. Talking about a guy who worked his tail off in the mornings, came in and did extra lifting and tried to lead and tried to lead with kind of an iron fist and get on guys. And guys just didn't respond to him and refused to respect him and basically didn't respond. I mean, Dickerson had no juice with him. And so he went somewhere else where he felt like he could fit better. And that's the sort of thing that ultimately needed to be fixed when Clements and Briles came in and getting things corrected. And when Taggart came in and getting that cultural side of things fixed. And so far, Clements has done a tremendous job rebuilding that offensive line room, not just getting them technique-wise to do things, but reestablishing trust between the coach and his players, and also between his players and one another. And you look at what he's been able to do with that so far this year, and it's really been tremendous. And he's just done an amazing job so far. He's outworked his paycheck there. Now, of course, when things get difficult and things aren't going as they should be, which is inevitably going to happen at some point, I mean, you're going to get beat here and there on the offensive line. The question is, how are they going to respond? Is that belief going to be strong enough? Is that buy-in going to be strong enough that they don't start coming apart again? And that's really where the test is going to come in those first couple games early in the season, and they're going to get challenged. And when there's a little adversity, are they going to be able to handle that? That's really what this staff, this offensive staff in particular, has been preparing for all camp. And they've been trying to push hard on some of these guys and build some of that confidence, but also get them ready for that adversity and how to handle it when things aren't going perfectly. So that's going to be something really interesting to pay attention to. Okay, so in any case, let's go ahead and shift to some more detail about each side of the ball. Now, number one, let's start on offense. Number one, at quarterback, I still expect Blackmon to wind up being the starter, but it's a legitimate competition right now. And when you go back to the last scrimmage, Blackmon had a little bit better stats, but some of that was because of just how some of his wide receivers helped him out. For example, throwing a relatively short pass to Pokey Wilson and then having Pokey just do a Rashad Green impression and take off and run and hide and score, you know, a long play. So that can kind of throw off the stats a little bit. And when you're grading your quarterbacks, you don't think about that. You don't pay attention to that. Now, Pokey, by the way, he's my breakout candidate for the season. You talk about an offensive guy that isn't coming into the season with a lot of buzz, but right now, from what's trickled down to me, I think Pokey's the second best outside receiver on the team. And my guess is that Pokey's going to be the second most productive guy on the outside to Terry. So those two high school teammates who are completely under the radar coming out of high school are going to be most likely one and two in terms of production among outside receivers on the team. Now, Gavin's going to have something to say about that. Some of the younger guys will as well, but I think Pokey Wilson's probably the number two guy to Terry out there in terms of outside production. Now, inside, you're going to have DJ and Helton. So really, that probably means that Pokey's going to be more like fourth on the team in terms of yardage and production in the receiving game, but he's going to make some plays. He's my breakout candidate for the year. But getting back to quarterbacks, but when you're grading them, you can't grade on the basis of whether a guy makes a play for you once you get him the ball. You have to grade on what's happening up to the ball getting there. And right now, Blackmon just needs to make quicker decisions in this offense. He's still a beat late getting the ball out. And this is an offense where you have to get the football out. You have to get your eyes to the right place and make sure that you are reading quickly and get the ball out and get it there when a guy actually has a chance to make a play. And Blackmon has just been, he's still at times just a beat late, and that's gotta get better. And honestly, over the past week, Hornibrook has actually moved the offense better in team periods since the scrimmage. And he just gets it out more quickly is one of the reasons why. And he's on the other thing that's been surprising, again, according to what I've heard, is that Hornibrook has had more success throwing deep in team periods than Blackmon over the past week. And, you know, this is not a guy with a big arm. Blackman's got the much bigger arm, but throwing deep, Hornibrook's had some success. Now, where Blackman has the edge is when he's throwing out wide. When you're throwing some of those curls to the wide splits and all that, Blackman can RPM that ball out there a lot with a lot more zip and get it out there more easily. But in order to do that, you still have to get the ball out more quickly before you're double clutching. And I showed a little bit of this in my last video breakdown where you could see some of this in the spring. And again, he's still working through this, but you can end up bringing guys over to where they are actually in the passing lane if you don't get it out on time. And so that's where Blackman still has some work to do. There's some other things just in terms of cleanup that need to happen. Ultimately, it's close and they're rotating evenly across the board with who's taking first team snaps and second team snaps and all that. Over the past couple of days, actually, Hornibrook's been the guy to get the first snap in team. But again, they're rotating it so that it really doesn't matter. But that just tells you that right now, it's a legitimate competition. And even though Blackman, I would still expect to be the starter, he hasn't run away with this job. And there's still a lot of improvement that needs to happen at the quarterback position to really run this offense the way that Briles wants. Now, the biggest difference offensively compared to last year is not really in the passing game at this point. Again, based on eyewitness stuff from practice, the place where there's really the biggest difference is in the run game. And it needed to be. There needed to be a massive change in the run game in order for this team to have some success. And that's really where the biggest difference has been. And some of that is just how Briles is, and Clements, there's so much flexibility in terms of, okay, this is what the personnel can do. This is what we're going to have to do in order to make it so that we can run the football. And that's, they're just the commitment to finding ways to shape the running game to the personnel is really remarkable. And they've gone out of their way to make sure that they can, that they're going to be able to run the football, that they're going to be able to block well enough, and that they're going to get more out of the running backs that they have on the roster. And that's really where the difference is going to be. And right up front, it's been passed along to me. Akers is trusting his blocks better and also fits the system better than what he was asked to do last year. It's just much more comfortable for him so far this offseason compared to last year. Last year in the preseason, we were talking about, well, you know, he's a great back, but, you know, he doesn't quite fit the system as well as what he did the prior year. This year, they've found ways to accommodate to make him comfortable. And so I think you're going to notice a different looking Akers in game one, just in terms of trusting his blocks, in terms of getting upfield and being able to get yardage and get to full speed. And that's, they're just doing a much better job of that. And a lot of that starts up front. And when you look at what they're doing up front, the emphasis is not to work from, okay, how can we protect our quarterback and work out from that in terms of making sure that they're getting the best pass protection possible and all of that. No, the emphasis is finding guys who are going to work together to create a running game, first and foremost. And then from there, they'll build the offensive, they'll build the packages to be able to throw the football off of RPOs, off of play action and all of that, which by itself makes you better as a pass protector, because you can, in RPOs, you're still run blocking and it's on the quarterback to get it out. On play action, you're slowing the rush down just by the play action. So it changes a little bit in terms of what you can do there. And the emphasis has been finding ways to create a running game, and then they'll use their splits to get some bigger plays on the edge beyond that. And so they'll go bigger personnel if they have to at times. You know, this is where they've shown Goss at tight end as a sixth offensive lineman. They'll do that and then put two H-backs out there if they need to. I mean, that's jumbo personnel, but they'll do that if they feel like that's what they need to do to get to run the football. And this is one of those things that, again, the Briles system is everybody sort of thinks of the Brile system as a big play passing attack, but it is first and foremost a pound the football running attack. They want to be physical. They want to create displacement at the line of scrimmage, and they want to be able to get yardage in the running game and then use that to get big seams in the passing game. And the way that one of the ways that they're going to get the running game going is by using splits and alignment to create some seams for the running game. You're going to have to commit to defending some of those guys on the outside and make sure that you keep an extra defender over the top or whatever. And by forcing you to handle that, then they're able to do what they really want to do, which is run the football. That's what the Briles offense is geared up to do. And that emphasis has been there all camp. It's been all about running the football. And at this point, the offensive line is getting some wins against the defense in the run game, particularly the one offensive line. When you've got the ones together, they've had more success overall than the twos. The twos at times, you know, there's a gap. And that said, they're still working in some of those twos with the ones. I mean, they've used a lot of combinations with the ones, you know, putting Abdul Bello at left tackle, Neal at right tackle, Meadows at left guard. They're rotating, you know, Lucas and Arnold are getting a lot of snaps with the ones at right guard. But, you know, that's four guys that are basically coming in with the ones at different points. It's just that they're not always putting them on the field together. You know, you can put this guy out there to give this guy a breather or whatever. I think they have a pretty good sense of who they're going to start, but they feel like they're going to need 7-8 offensive linemen who can play, not only because of the potential injuries, but also because at different points with as many plays as they're planning to run, it's just a fatigue matter. And because of just getting a little bit better across the board, they're putting one guy out there with the ones isn't disastrous. One of those twos with the ones. But when you get the full twos out there, there is a drop off and you're not seeing them get as many wins against the defense. Defense is just a little bit deeper there, but you know, it's one of those things where, again, my source on this has been very clear that the offense is getting periodically, they're getting their wins against the defense more than just periodically. They're getting some wins against the defense in the run game. And that's with the defense having, you know, they don't have chopped liver out there with the defensive tackles. I mean, they've got a quality unit that they're running against, and when they're actually able to run the football against that group, that's saying something. And so there's been continued progress in that area, and the offensive line looks significantly better. I'm more bullish on this offensive line than just about anybody that's covering the team at this point. Again, because of what has filtered to me about some of these guys. I mean, just talking about some of this, giving you some. I'll pass this along basically as has been passed along to me. And that's one, Juwan Williams has looked like a real life ACC level offensive tackle, which Florida State did not have a Power 5 level offensive tackle out there last year. And if he can look like he's looked in practice in games, which that's the real question right now, because he had some struggles when the lights went on last year. But it's different once you get a little bit of confidence and when you're stronger. If he can look like he's looked in practice in games, suddenly that left tackle position is not a massive concern. And then Reynolds on the right side has been an improvement over what they had last year. Now, he actually is not as good. So when you talk about his abilities, he's not as strong as some of the better tackles in the conference are going to be. He's a guy that's going to be really good against the speed rush, and he moves really well, but there have been some cases in practice of him basically getting bowled by some of the bigger defensive linemen. And, you know, he's a guy that doesn't hold up quite as well against some of that as he does against the speed. So, in the run game, he's perfectly serviceable, which is way better again than what they got at the right tackle position last year. Now, the offensive guards, inconsistent in pass pro. they're okay in pass pro, but they've been pretty good run in terms of run blocking. And again, that's been the big emphasis. They want to be able to run the football. And center, I mean, I think center is you know, basically if you get Eberle level production out of Bavion Johnson, then that's good enough. Good enough to be basically average, surrounded by the rest. But the bottom line is, yes, it would be hard to be worse, but this is going to be a much better run blocking offensive line. I'm expecting a pretty big year from Akers and from the running back group, but Akers in particular. And in the pass game, again, they'll use a ton of 6 and 7 man protections to help there. Keep the backs in, keep a tight end in, even throw out of 6 offensive line formations where you've got Goss on as an extra offensive tackle. Throw with tons of play action and RPO stuff to reduce the rush. They'll reduce the rush just by scheme, by keeping some extra guys in and all that, because they don't believe that teams are going to be able to cover a couple of the receivers that they've got regardless. So, okay, we'll take an extra receiver off the field, but you're still not going to cover Tamorian Terry. You're still going to have trouble covering those slots on some of those choice routes, which are pulled right out of the run and shoot. So they're of the belief that they're going to be able to get what they need out of that while still being able to commit to the running game. But they are fully invested in being able to run the football. And really, that's the thing. As long as this offense is able to run the football, they're going to be prolific. And as of right now, I think they're going to have success running the football in most games. Now, defensively, the defensive scheme is, as we talked about last podcast, it's completely different. And there's still some adjustment to that. They're still learning. There's going to be some busts here and there. There's going to be some misses where, you know, a linebacker drops to the wrong spot or a safety is just a little off on the rotation or whatever. And there's going to be some plays that they'll give up, but it'll be fewer than last year. And a couple of the reasons is, number one, I'll just put it the way my source did here. Lars Woodby at Will linebacker, the money position, radically changes this defense because he takes that spot, that linebacker spot, which is really important in this defense, and takes it from being a weakness with a player who's really not a Florida State level starter, arguably not an ACC level starter, to having the kind of athlete and the kind of player at that position that Clemson has had the last few years. Yep. Lars Woodby changes the defense being there. Just his athleticism and length and size at that position, that he takes it from being a weakness to being one of the legit strengths of the defense. And that's both against the run and especially in terms of dealing with some of that intermediate pass stuff that they had so much trouble with last year and the year prior, where the linebacker position has been a real weakness. He changes things. And I think that'll be evident in game one. Now, edge rush, still a concern. They've got to get better production from those guys. Some of it, I mean, Kando not being out through camp has been a problem. Janarius has flashed a little bit. Actually, Josh Brown flashed a couple times in the scrimmage. Amari Gaynor has some potential, but it's still really a year too early for him to really depend on him. And Warner, you know, I think he'll be okay, but they've got to find a way to get some rush from the edge here and there. Now they're going to use a lot more blitz packages and bring pressure from different angles to try to create pressure by disguise and all of that much more. So that helps offset that. But you know, they right now, this is not a heavy pass rush team like what you might what you got last year with Brian Burns, for example, where you knew that at least one guy on the edge is going to cause a lot of problems offensively just because of edge rush ability. But, you know, they're going to use more variation, like I said. And again, one of these things that I think people forget is that Barnett is a Saban guy. I mean, he played under Saban Belichick. He coached under D'Antonio, who is a Saban disciple. And yeah, he coached even front stuff up at Michigan State, but he knows the odd front stuff. He knows the Saban Belichick stuff. And that's really what he's installed here. And going back to when he was hired, that's something I tried to explain, is that the people who had been in the interview process and all that said, he's really a Saban guy at heart. That's what he is. And that's what they've installed, is odd front type stuff where you're going to be bringing a lot of pressure from different angles and using some two gapping to stop the run. That's what he's bringing. And they're still running a bunch of quarters in the secondary, for what it's worth. That's still going to be your primary, your base, but that's going to be a little bit less used than last year. They'll go a little bit more single safety than last year, but they're still using the base quarters as the primary coverage, but you've got an extra guy underneath because of the two gapping in terms of that underneath coverage, and that helps a bunch. And especially when that guy's would be, when that guy's Lars would be, that makes a difference. So that's helpful. And then when you look at some of the other stuff in the secondary, there's a lot of excitement about what's going on in the secondary. I mean, Bolden had a nice pick in the scrimmage. Some of the young guys have really flashed at times. Jay's had a couple picks. Actually, earlier this week, Renardo Green had a great pick on a well-thrown ball. He outfought, from what my source said, outfought the wide receiver for the football with a terrific interception. So, you know, they've had some success in the secondary, just in terms of especially the young guys demonstrating that they are every bit as good as the staff thought they might be when they came in. And those young guys, Dent, Jay, and Green, they're seeing some time. Dent and Jay in particular, I mean, both of those guys have seen some first team reps in practice, particularly in some of those nickel dime packages. But they're gonna be fine in the secondary, and they've got so much athleticism back there that once you combine that with what they're doing up front, they're gonna have some success. Again, the big challenge is gonna be finding ways to pressure the passer at times. But again, this is where Barnett has excelled in the past. I mean, what people came up to Michigan State to study with him was his Delta package stuff, which was all odd front, third down blitz packages. Well, what they've basically done is they've gone to Delta type scheme, but with bigger personnel the rest of the time. So this is very much up his alley in terms of what he wants to do. And they'll try to create pressure. They'll use a lot of single coverage to take advantage of the athletes that they have in the secondary to basically make it more difficult for teams to be able to do what they did last year, which was have some success running the football and then throwing over the intermediate middle. They're trying to take those things away just by scheme. And again, by some of the position moves, there's some optimism that they'll get there. They're going to need to improve over the course of the early part of the year. Again, it's a different scheme. You got some stuff to learn, and periodically you're going to have a guy get out of a gap or whatever, but a lot of things to be encouraged by there. Okay, before I go, I want to thank my final two sponsors. I'm actually going to do both of them here. Number one, Garage Makeovers. They're the top-rated garage remodeling company in South Florida, according to Home Advisor and Angie's List. If you have any needs for any organization or any garage upgrades that you want, if you live in South Florida, they're who you need to call. Let them know you heard about them from the Unconquered podcast. And also EPR Creations. If you have any need for internet marketing, for a website, for any sort of development online, you need to give EPR Creations a call. They're the best in the business, and they won't cost an arm and a leg. They'll partner with small businesses for website development, online strategy planning. Let them know you heard about them from the Unconquered podcast, and improve your online presence. All right, final couple things. I've got, in addition to several podcasts that I'm going to be releasing next week, I'm also, over the course of the next week, going to be releasing a lot of Bryle's analysis on Patreon, on patreon.com. And I'm going to, I've waited a little bit till a week before the season to do that, but that'll include some Boise defensive analysis as well, even though Boise did have a coordinator change, and I'll have to pull in some stuff from that as well. But overall, it's going to be a lot of content going up over the next week. Looking forward to it. Before I go, want to thank Keith Chaney, Chris Chartrand, Bert Bertoldi for being above the Secure the Bag sponsors over on Patreon. Once again, this has been the Unconquered podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much, and have a great day if you want to.